Bill 171, which is a bill to prohibit certain officials from voting if a conflict of interest arises. Senator Schoenbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have big enough shoes to be called representative, but I appreciate the honor there.
And don't you forget it.
Appropriate amount of sucking up.
And don't we look nice?
You look beautiful.
In a nice sweater.
Bright. You look bright. Senator Lee Schoenbeck, District 5 from Watertown. I kind of feel like whistling through the graveyard. This is the second hearing I followed the cremation and dying bill. But so far, that hasn't deterred this one. This particular piece of legislation is inspired by a decision from our Supreme Court that was handed down while we were here in session on January 19th. I need to tell you just a little bit about that so you can see why we should be addressing this legislatively, although the need to address this legislatively has been out there and known about for some time. In fact, it passed the legislature once several years ago, and for a different reason, not a problem with this bill, was vetoed by the governor. In that decision, it involved a liquor license application in the city of Winter, and a waitress who was paid in part by tips in the city of Winter sits on the city council. And it was a controversial local decision, and Representative Henney's no jokes about the waitresses from the city of Winter. I said waitress. It was a hot local issue. Her employer wrote her a letter, asked her to vote against the new liquor license, she ultimately did vote to deny the liquor license, as did every other member of the city council. It was turned down 6-0. The proponents of the liquor license then appealed it, alleging that the waitress had a conflict of interest because she gets tips from a competitor and would conceivably have her income affected by another steakhouse in the community. And so that challenge comes after the council's decided. It goes up to the Supreme Court, and the South Coast Supreme Court looks at it, and they look at two or three different states' conflict of interest laws. The first one they go to is Minnesota. And for all of us who are in the legislature and have ever had an opportunity to talk to any lobbyist that works in both states, you know that how they'll always say to you, can I buy this cup of coffee now or not? Because, of course, in Minnesota, that's a crime, whereas our price tag is much higher here. And so as soon as you see the court referring to Minnesota, you know you sort of should start having your antennas go up that there's something going on here that's not the way we do business in South Dakota. And ultimately, the court landed on the New Jersey law, and New Jersey has a series of four different types of conflicts they describe. They're direct pecuniary, indirect pecuniary, direct personal, indirect personal. And let me just come back to that, because let me tell you that the court found that the waitress had a pecuniary interest in the outcome. An indirect pecuniary interest in the outcome of the decision because of the tips that she gets from what would have been a competitor. And they reversed the entire decision of the city council. 6-0 decision was reversed because one of the council people gets tips from a steakhouse. And they used this New Jersey test, and if you want to know the last thing about background, and then I'll tell you the problem and the answer, and I'll try and be brief, the indirect personal test for a conflict of interest, which is one of the four standards, not used in that case, but set forth in there, could apply, is this. When an official votes on a matter in which an individual's judgment may be affected because of membership in some organization and a desire to help that organization further its policies, I would like to see you apply that one to this legislative body. And then let's find out how we get a quorum to vote on anything. Well, I would suggest the cities have exactly the same problem under this decision that came down. In fact, I can identify three or four problems. First one is that you get to challenge after the fact. If you lose, you can just go around and try and find some member of that council that had, at a minimum, an indirect personal interest. And if you can find that, the remedy is that you get the entire decision reversed. Also, suppose our local governments decide to honor this decision. Well, then you're not going to be able to get quorums if you use this decision as a standard. And the remedy from the court is way too drastic. If one person has a conflict, it shouldn't overrule, in this instance, a unanimous decision. And I think it, more importantly, is a philosophy. It changes the way we expect local officials to act in the face of what may or may not be perceived as conflicts of interest. And it's the same difference between how we do business in the legislature in South Dakota and in Minnesota. I joke that, you know, our price tag is higher. I think the reality is we think that our votes can't be bought, and we don't need to have a law that says that if you give me a cup of coffee, somehow I'm going to vote for you. And I think we should have the same standard for our local government officials. So if you go to the bill, I can walk you through the four sentences. The first one says, what I think we all understand the law is, that if you have a conflict of interest, you shouldn't vote. Second one says that individuals will decide whether or not they have a conflict of interest. And the reason for that is to make a discretionary standard, because that's harder to review and reverse upon a challenge or an appeal. The third sentence says, you know, there are certain instances where people do have conflicts, and we recognize that. And a direct pecuniary interest is the one that I think we understand in South Dakota. If you've got an interest in a contract or something like that, you shouldn't be voting on it. And the safety gap that's in that same sentence is sub two, where it says, okay, suppose the councilman's just pigheaded and won't recognize they shouldn't be voting. Well, then a supermajority of the council can say, look, we're not going to let you vote on this one. But it needs to be a supermajority, because you're reversing the will of the voters at the ballot box, and that shouldn't be able to be used as a political tool to change the outcome of the vote on the particular issue. And lastly, it is a sentence that reflects what the remedy would be. The remedy is, if one person shouldn't have voted, then if that's challenged and is successful, then that one vote shouldn't count. If that changes the outcome, a 3-2 decision or a tie decision, so be it, but it shouldn't change the outcome of a 6-0 decision. So that's the issue, the problem, and the answer.
Thank you, Senator Schoenbeck. Are there any other proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. When Senator Schoenbeck first brought this Supreme Court decision to our attention, it was a jaw-dropping moment, because honestly, I've been calling it that you can't vote on anything ever, because under these standards, literally the first response that we got back from people that we sent this out to is, we won't be able to have a quorum, because it's a pretty small state and we've all got a pretty general interest in most of the things that happen here, and under this standard you just would not be able to participate in those decisions. So we do appreciate this bill coming forward. I think it's vital that we have to get something passed this year to allow us to operate, and we may need to tweak later in further years to fine-tune it, who knows, but it's pretty important that we get something done so that we can continue to operate over the next year. And so with that, we would urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Taylor. Are there any other proponents? Senate Bill 171. Any proponents? Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 171? Okay. Seeing none, then we will close to public testimony and open to committee questions. Are there any questions from anybody on the committee? Well, Senator, I have one, if you would take the chair again for a moment.
It's pretty shy.
Yes, sir.
Why is this bill coming from the legislature to direct only county, municipal, and school officials? Why is it not every government body?
Because those would be the big ones, and we just didn't think about the other ones.
Okay. How about townships?
It would apply, or could apply, just as well to those as well. The decision came down involved cities, and we immediately recognized what I've got there are the three biggest ones. It could apply to any. I mean, it could be changed to apply to any level of local government.
Okay, thank you. Representative Hanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to make a comment. I didn't actually have a question, but as of...
We'll have time for comments.
Okay.
I would have liked to have heard whatever you had to say.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, then we will close to public to questions and open to committee discussion and or action. Yes, you may comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry about that. You know, as a former city council member, I'm going to tell you, this is a badly needed bill. There's been many many times where there's been a question of whether or not a person should vote, and the direction we currently get from our city attorneys is, let your conscience be your guide. Well, the problem is the fact that sometimes, I think it was mentioned, sometimes their bullheadedness gets in the way of their conscience, and they decide to vote whether or not. What was happening is there was a clear conflict of interest, but yet they would vote on it anyway, and it jeopardized the city's decision. So I think especially the item number two, where the governing body by supermajority can determine that they do have a conflict of interest, is probably well overdue. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Hanks. Any other discussion? Any motion from anyone?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Marshall.
Mr. Chairman, I move to pass on Senate Bill 171.
Second. Thank you.
Moved by Marshall, seconded by Rounds. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, we will vote. Motion is do pass. Secretary, call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay.
Cutler?
Aye.
Davis?
Aye.
Gassman?
Aye.
Hanks?
Aye.
Howey?
Aye.
Kroger?
Aye.
McCoy?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye.
Sigistad?
Aye.
Torno?
Aye.
Marshall?
Aye.
Hennies?
Aye.
That's unanimous. It'll go to the floor. Do pass. Representative Hanks.
Move consent, please.
Who said no? Okay, there will be no consent on that.
Team one.